Welcome to the weekend and welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee Renfro and I'm the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. And man, just enjoying jumping into the Gospel of John with you again this week as we are taking the summer and really diving deep into this gospel and to hear what John would have for us. And I just continue to remind myself whenever I'm reading through John, and the same can be true for you, as Jesus sought to transform people's eternities as they encountered him in very personal ways. John tells us the whole reason why he wrote it at the end of his gospel in chapter 20. He talks about that he wrote these things so that those who would hear it would believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And so everything he writes is for you and I to believe in Jesus. And so Jesus did things, he taught things, and John recorded them in such a way that as we read these today, that we would believe that Jesus wasn't just a good teacher, he wasn't just a miracle worker, but he is the Christ, the Messiah, the sent one of God to rescue and save humanity from our sins. And so today we're going to read from John chapter 4. And I do want to read, it's just a couple of verses about this encounter that Jesus had with an official whose son was sick. So let me just go ahead and read from John 4, verses 46 through 53. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. And when this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. And he asked when the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." And the father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed in all his household. So I love, again, as we're thinking about John and as he wrote these things down so that we would believe in Jesus, we see this miraculous encounter that Jesus has with him. And I love how John reminds us that he's back in Cana, where he had done his first sign, his first miracle, turning the water into wine, which we looked at a couple of Sundays ago. And so today we see this encounter that he has with an official. We're not given his name, but we're told that he's ill. And I love one commentator in talking about this passage said, "Jesus meets a man who is powerful as an official, likely perhaps working in Herod's court, had lots of influence and power. So although he was powerful, he is also powerless because he cannot heal his son. He cannot cure him of whatever it is that's threatening his death." And I don't know about you, but I've been in these moments for me where it seems like I have no power about a situation. And so there were several years ago after Michelle and I had gotten pregnant with our first son, Gabriel, where we went in for the good news to hear the heartbeat, and we did, and everything was great. But the doctors had saw something that was concerning in her, that she had what they thought was an ovarian cyst, which can be common in pregnancies, but they wanted to monitor it. But it was had a significant size to it. And after several weeks of looking at it, they said, we want to go in and remove this. So in case it doesn't rupture and cause any more, doesn't cause any more damage or could be a hurt to you or the baby. And so they go in and they remove the cyst, but they come in and they find, and they tell me, and I remember walking in with the doctor and she's looking at me and I'm like, "Is my wife okay?" And she's like, "Yes." And it's also this sense of like, there's something else there. And so as they removed this cyst, they said it actually wasn't a cyst. It looked more like a tumor. And so they're going to send it away for testing to see, in fact, what kind of tumor, if it is one, what it is. And just in that moment, it was like one of the first times in my life where, as a Christian, that I had come to Christ at 21. So this is likely 5 or 6 years after that. So I still feel relatively new in my faith, but it was really this first time where I was confronted with, do I really believe all this? I felt utterly powerless. There was no optimistic, there was no positive spin to it. I could not do anything to help my wife if she in fact had cancer or not. And so I'll fast forward the story. We praise the Lord, we got back and it was good news. It wasn't a malignant tumor, it was benign, but it had some tendencies that maybe caused concern there. And so we're just grateful that there hasn't been anything since then in her or in our family. But I just remember that moment of being completely powerless. And I think we all face those in our lives, right? Where something is completely out of our control. And what do we do about that? And so what we see in the midst of all this is that we can do exactly what this man did. He knew that he could not help his son. And so what did he do? He went to the one who has the power that he had heard about that could perhaps heal his son. And I love, he tells Jesus, he asked him to say, can you come and heal my son? And it's as if Jesus is like, you know, as God on earth, he's like, I can do it right here. Man, I don't have to go and see him. I can do it right here in this very moment. Go. The fact that he had faith that Jesus could heal him. He didn't, I mean, even the faith was probably not even the way that we would think it would be, but it was just enough because it wasn't necessarily the strength of his faith, but it was the object of what he was trusting his faith to do. And that was Jesus to heal his son. And he says, go. And he was. And so I'm just reminded by that today, that whatever you're going through, whatever you encounter, this week, next month, next year, whatever you encounter, and you feel powerless, that you can go to the one who's powerful. You can go to the one that we can pray, that can act on our behalf, that can bring about an outcome to our circumstances that we could never even imagine, but who also may let things happen because he's got a plan for us as well. But nonetheless, we go to him because we can trust him. We can trust him as the one who not only heals us, but he's the one who is going to heal our souls and will one day rid the world of sin, its power. He's rid it of its penalty, and one day he will rid it of its presence. And so let's just take some time here and let's pray today. I pray that God would continue to remind us about how powerful he is as we go to Christ, as we encounter him, as we can put our faith and trust in him, that he can do what we cannot do, that he can accomplish what we can't even accomplish. He can do things that you know, and outcomes that are far greater than we could even imagine. So let's take some time and let's pray. And even in the midst of that, you may have circumstances or struggles that you're going through right now or know somebody that's going through, and we could just go to God, who is our God of all great mercies, who is rich in mercy and who would lavish his love upon us, that could work out an outcome that could bring about an answer to that prayer that's far greater than what we could imagine. So let's take some time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for even this incredible encounter that we see from this official in Cana, and how Christ met him in the midst of that and showed him his power. And this man believed even more in Jesus. I can't imagine how much more stronger his faith got, as he already knew that Jesus could do something, but now he'd experienced it, and it didn't just change his life. We see that his whole household believed because of this. And may more households be transformed by the gospel in Central Ohio as we share Jesus, as we help people meet Jesus, because when we do, lives are changed forever. So God, thanks for your word. Thanks for your goodness and how you are accomplishing your purposes in us and through us for your glory. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, why don't you take a few moments and would you pray?